welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally back with Sean Boyd, and it was so nice. We let you hear it twice.
And welcome, everyone, to this edition of On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd coming to you from Northern California upon the palatial studios in Northern California. And Sean Wally up in the Pacific Northwest. Show number 85, Mr. Wally. Man, where do we start?
Well, how about a great weekend for you? Not one, but two NFL games in back-to-back days.
Well, yeah, two great games over the weekend. Of course, you know, getting the chance to work with CBS on Saturday and Sunday. And two great NFL games. One in Santa Clara, of course, the San Francisco 49ers taking one on the chin to the San Diego Chargers. And that was a tough one. And then, of course, the next day in Oakland, getting the chance to watch my beloved Raiders take care of business and knock the Buffalo Bills out of the playoffs, Sean Wally, as they win 26-24.
So it was definitely on Saturday a tale of two halves. The Niners got out to an early big lead, but Chargers came roaring back.
You know, it was very surprising. And, you know, to be honest with you, Sean, I thought that San Francisco was going to take care of business. They're up 20-plus points, and everything seemed to be working. And for the first time in the history, and I'm not over-exaggerating this, for the first time in the history of Levi Stadium, did I feel that there was an actual advantage for the San Francisco 49ers playing in their stadium, their home stadium. The crowd was into it. The noise level was as loud as I have ever heard it. But yet and still, the 49ers just could not pull it out. Late heroics by Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates putting on a clinic in the second half. The things that they couldn't do as far as making the proper passes and connecting, they were doing that in the second half. And even then, with about 7 minutes left, the 49ers were up 14 points. And it seemed like everything was well and good. And, you know, fans were starting to leave the exits. But then about 6 minutes left, something started to happen. And Philip Rivers started to make a drive and started to put two and two together. And the next thing you know, they were within striking distance. And then it happened. Overtime. And, you know, the 49ers just couldn't recover.
Almost seems like a microcosm of the 49ers season in one game.
Yeah, you know, the ups and downs, getting off to a great start. Then there's the hiccups, the problems with keeping cohesion going, and you're exactly right. So what was happening on the field are the same things that are happening in the locker room, happening in the front office, and, you know, it just seemed like patch-up work, and if we could just hold on, that's the way the 49ers were playing. If we could just hold on, things would work out. But what happens is when you, you know, just like in basketball, that old adage, if you go into a prevent defense, then that allows the team to actually catch up, and that's in football as well. You go into that prevent, it allows them to catch up, and who knows, once they do catch up, man, you know, bad things can happen, and that's just what happened to the 49ers.
And on the other end of the bay, your Raiders, another victory. I think they have more victories in the last month than the 49ers.
Man, if I were to tell you that out of the two NFL Bay Area teams, that in the last month, there was a team that's lost four in a row, and then there's a team that's won three of their last five. Which team would you pick to be the three out of the last five?
Well, because I'm a wise aficionado of football, I would know it's the Oakland Raiders.
Man, and that's something that is exciting to hear. More importantly, the Oakland Raiders have won three in a row at home. And so they have, you know, they finished off home well. Of course, they've got one more game left in the season. But, man, you talk about things turning around. And, you know, that's very great for the Oakland Raiders. I mean, you know, you're looking at a future that is still up in the air. They just brought in their they just extended their lease as far as playing next year, so they will be in Oakland again. Not sure on who's going to be the coach, and there's kind of that intertwining that's going on between San Francisco and Oakland on who could be the coach of either team next week or next year. And so, you know, but there's a tremendous upside going on in Oakland, and there is a huge cloud over Santa Clara and the West Bay in San Francisco. But let's go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines, and we will open up with guest number one, and we're going to bring in Fred Wilson. Fred Wilson, the head basketball coach at West Campus High School in Sacramento. Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good, Coach. Good. And, of course, you know, you are a part of our segments. We've had about three segments here as far as bringing in high school coaches in the local areas to actually give a light on what it is that you do, some of the great things that you do. And, of course, last week we had head coach Denard Wilson of Grant High School. And so, you know, man, you're having a tremendous season so far. I believe 7-4 on the season. Just took one on the chin, though, I believe a couple of days ago against Monterey Trail. But yeah. How's the team doing this year?
We're doing well. Our guys are maturing. We have a bunch of seniors that are returning from last year, and I thought last year we took some lumps and we worked hard over the summer, and you know, you can see everything that we've done over the summer is paying off. So you see the guys fighting for each other, and that's all you can ask.
Now, Coach, you have a huge heart as far as not just helping the kids, you know, at your high school, at West Campus High School, but you help a lot of kids around, and a lot of these young men and young women have gone on to the next level. Kind of give us a little bit of what inspires you to actually, you know, step out and do that.
Well, because someone did it for me when I was one of those young men wondering, will I play at the next level, or what will I do after high school or during high school? So I felt it was a responsibility of mine to do it back, because Sacramento has a lot of talent out here. So I remember seeing guys at the Florida Summer League, or I watch guys that we play against, or go to AAU events, and I ask guys, like, where are you going? And they wouldn't know. So, I use the contacts that I have with some college coaches, and matching their ability with the college coaches' need, it kind of made it easy for them to get to their level. So I think all coaches should, this should be something that all coaches should do. I think it's part of our job. So it's one of the biggest rewards you can have as a coach.
Coach, what is the toughest aspect of being a basketball coach?
Oh, man. You have the whole program to run. There's so many things that goes on behind the scene, you know, with the scheduling, the transportation. I know all schools are a bit different, but in our school, we're limited on resources, so I have to find resources to get, you know, us transportation, get our schedule, uniforms, you know, all those things. But as far as on the court, one of the biggest challenges is getting the players to play at a high level, because we're a small school, and I think we play at a high level than our Division Five. We're Division Five, so I think we can compete with a lot of Division Two schools, Division One schools in our area. So just getting them to really buy into playing as hard as they can, and giving 110% every time, that's one of the difficult things.
What is it like when you're able to work with the youth and coach them, mentor them, and then you see that light bulb come on, they flick that switch, and they finally get what you're telling them?
It's one of the best feelings you can have as a coach. I mean, it's it's part of the reason why we do what we do. You know, it's part of the reason why I do what I do, because of that particular reason. I have a senior, Kevin Dent, along with Marcus McCullough. We've been working hard all summer. I've had Kevin Dent since he was a sophomore, and he struggled a bit coming over as a sophomore, skinny, real flimsy, would fall on every possession. And just getting him to play solid and play strong, that was challenging. You know, if you saw him his sophomore year to now, he's a completely different player. And it's a great feeling to see him go out and drop 26 and get about 5 to 6 rebounds and get about 3 steals and 5 assists. Same thing with Marcus. He's a senior that had to carry us last year as a junior a lot. And, you know, that was rewarding to show him, to put him in positions to where he can be successful. And then, you know, getting calls from college coaches about those guys, it's the best feeling in the world.
Coach Fred Wilson of West Campus High School joining us here on the Double. And Coach, you're kind of mentioning a microcosm on what's going on in developing a program. So West Campus isn't exactly the, you know, the hub to where athletes are going, but at the same time, you're picking up athletes that are in transition. And kind of give us an idea on, you know, how tough it is to actually, you know, put some type of level of consistency in, and also give us an idea on the great rewards that's given to you once, you know, you start to have the successes that you have.
Well, starting off at West Campus, you know, West Campus is a top academic school in California. And it's a gift and a curse because, you know, it's hard to get that stud athlete because the grades are not high enough to get in, you know. So that's kind of the difficult thing. But the great thing is you don't have to worry so much about academics. And it makes the coaching staff and the faculty to really stay on top of their kids about their grades. Now, years went by, we were able to get some talent in that could match the academics and as well as develop them over the years. And, you know, the biggest reward is these kids at West Campus, outside of athletics, they're going to college. Now, when you add the athletic part in there, and the college coaches see the transcript coming from this school, well, I mean, that's the biggest reward to, you know, this. I have my student athletes who I worked with for years, days and hours, and now this kid have an opportunity to sign the letter of intent and go to school. So it was definitely some hard work. But, you know, throughout the years, we just kind of stuck with it, didn't give up on it. And, you know, right now the rewards are making a little noise. This little small school, we're making a little noise. You can pick up a newspaper and read a little bit of ink. We're able to, you know, beat some teams that, you know, in the past would, you know, beat us. And you can see the confidence in our guys. You can see the confidence in our school. Our games are usually packed. Our band is playing. It's ridiculously loud. So the rewards are coming from, you know, all different angles. And it's a great feeling. I love it being here.
And that's a great testament to you, Coach, and, you know, the perseverance and the time that you put in and day out.
Appreciate that.
Now, you know, for me, it is, you know, for personal reasons, you know, you are a tremendous, tremendous heart in the Boyd family. And what I mean by that is, of course, you have the knack of finding a talent sometimes that others actually don't utilize the way that they should. And of course, you know, my son Devon had the chance to be at your camp the one summer. And, you know, just looking for the opportunity to shine and show what he can do. And you saw something that was tremendous in him so much that, you know, you took him under your wings and basically, you know, talked to the colleges as his coach and allowed him to get the full ride scholarship that he has. And, you know, I just want to you know, I want to say on the air, I just want to say thank you so much for what you do with the kids in the community. And I thank you so much for, again, you know, being a part of our lives. And, man, I'm excited. I'm excited about your future. I'm excited about, you know, West Campus High School and what they have. And, you know, just looking forward to you, you know, winning state championship after state championship. And, again, you know, I want to thank you.
I appreciate it. I think it's what we're all supposed to do. You know, no knock to other coaches, but I just think that that's what we're all supposed to do. And you know, it's that's like that right there is the reward to me. You know what I mean? Like that right there. And you know, so you get a chance to go on bluecollarpreps.com. You can kind of see more of what we're about. And it's so much talent out here, and there's so many opportunities out here. I just think that we all should get together as coaches and help as many kids as we can to get to that level. So I'm going to continue to do it until I can't do it anymore.
Now, Coach, in your 17 years in the coaching world, who have been some guys that have kind of been your mentors and maybe even guys at the next level you've tried to follow and learn from?
I think starting off, I've been really blessed and fortunate to start out with some experienced coaches. I started in at Pleasant Valley High School in Chico, and I was under Randy Gilzine, who's a is a pretty structured coach. Then you had a guy named Scott Feingold, who was really like a driving the nail kind of coach. But then I had two guys that was really important to, you know, this is the coach that I wanted to be like. And it was a guy named John Luciano. He was a retired coach, and he used to talk to me after my games and really give it to me. Like if I did a terrible job coaching, he would tell me, "Coach, that was a terrible job. This is what you should have done." I really appreciate it. Then my fraternity brother, Marlon Gamble, was, you know, he's a couple years older than me, but he was also under John Luciano, and so I used to watch the things that he did and picked up a lot of things from him. And even out here, there was some coaches like Michael Shaw, who's the girls' assistant coach at Capital Christian High School. What I liked about him is he gave guys the opportunity to be themselves, and he helped develop them as young men and basketball players. But he wasn't degrading about any way, shape, or form. So that made me feel good as a player playing for him, because I played for him through AAU, and so he was by far one of my favorite coaches. So that was some of the things that I wanted to add. But then I like the I'm a big Pete Carrell fan. The David and Goliath story. How he, like, the things that he would get out of those guys that was at Princeton and beat, like, a Georgetown. You know, like, I'm a real huge fan of those stories. Bill Carmody was another guy that I really took a liking to. He was at Northwestern. He's now on Georgetown staff with John Thompson III. He's also one of the guys. I actually had a chance to conversate with him not too long ago. And, you know, they all do some of the same similar things. And so I try to take a piece of what they all do and add it to things that I do.
Coach, what do you hope that your student athletes take away from you years down the road?
Give back, like I always tell them when they're done, I don't know if they make it to the pros, make it big time. The only thing that I ask is that you come back and help me help another youngster. You know, just even some of my old players that I've coached in AAU, like Kevin Galloway and Joe Harden and all those guys, they still come back and they'll talk to the guys in the gym. They'll talk to guys about playing at a high level. That's one of the things that I ask of them, just come back and talk to the young men about playing at the next level and how to carry yourself on and off the court. that's also a bigger, one of the bigger things is you want people to respect you on and off the court.
Coach, now with the you're on a winter break now, and of course you got a big game coming up. Gonna head on the road to Colfax. You got any insight on how you're going to take on the worthy opponent such as Colfax?
Yeah, they're kind of a slow down pace type of team, so we're gonna run and do the things that we do. We're gonna mix up the defenses. I have someone watching them. They're actually playing right now, so I have someone watching them. So to get a good scouting report, and we're gonna put some things together to prepare for them. And I'm also getting ready to go watch that Capitol. So they're one of the guys that we're going after this year too.
We're definitely wishing you the best of luck for the rest of the year, Coach. And for those of our listeners who want to get out and get a chance to be a part of Blue Collar Preps, you can go to www.bluecollarpreps.com. Again, that's www.bluecollarpreps.com. And when are some of the camps coming up, Coach? I know that there might be something in the spring and definitely the summer with the Elite 50, but when's the next camp coming up?
Yeah, we're working on that in spring and summer. I'm actually meeting with a couple guys to make the event bigger so we can reach more coaches and more student athletes. So we don't have an exact date right now. So I'll definitely keep you posted when we have those dates. So I'm trying to reach out to more sponsors and more coaches to get involved in the event to make it bigger and more successful.
Well, yeah, if there's anything that we can do to help, just please feel free to shoot us a line, and then we'll be more than happy to get that out to our listeners here. Again, that's bluecollarspreps.com. Coach, thanks for being on the double. And again, we wish you we wish you continued success.
I appreciate you guys having me on, and, can continue to do what you guys are doing. I think this is a great thing you guys are doing for the community.
Well, thank you, Coach. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Merry Christmas, Coach.
Alrighty, Merry Christmas,
guys. There goes head coach Fred Wilson of West Campus High School in Sacramento, California. Big slate coming up, as we had mentioned, January the 2nd, Colfax High School in Colfax, California. And, of course, there's a game coming up against Dixon. The next home game for West Campus, for those of you who are wondering, is going to be January the 7th against Mira Loma. That's at home, at Mira Loma. And then again at Capital Christian in Sacramento. So Fred Wilson, head coach of the West Campus High School Warriors.
Now, Sean, off the top of your head, I know you haven't done the math in a while, but how many years did you coach at the high school level?
My goodness. Off the top, I would say about 13 years at the high school level.
And Fred Wilson, 17 and counting. I mean, goodness, that's,
yeah,
a good portion of his life, and, yours as well, 13. And that's a lot of time invested in those kids and programs and lots of ups and downs, and just hoping to continue to do things right and help somebody get on the right path in life.
If I did half of what Coach Wilson has done, I mean, you're talking about somebody who, again, takes the time away from his actual high school to help young men and young women outside of his high school to get to the next level. And he goes above and beyond, so not to knock any of the high school coaches, but what Coach Wilson does is he actually makes the phone calls. He's actually in the college coaches' faces. He's actually getting the film to put together. He's actually the one that is standing in the gap for these young men and young women. And, I know that it's something that he hears all the time, but he's truly humbled because that's the type of person Coach Wilson is. And, that's what he wants. He wants to make sure that these guys are getting a fair shake, that they're getting the respect that they deserve. And, it's exciting. It's exciting to actually be in the camp that Fred Wilson is part of.
And I know that Coach Wilson is looking to have a shot at getting to Sleep Train for the CIF championships come the end of the basketball season, and he's shooting for the stars.
Yeah, you know, he's, as he said, you know, it's a little different down here in California than it is in the state of Washington. Of course, a Division V school is a school that is actually one of the smaller schools. So they're more private schools, you know, so when you're playing a Division II, Division I foe, you're playing the best of the best. You're talking about enrollments of up to 3,000 students. And what Coach Wilson is doing is he's preparing his teams by playing these juggernauts early, so that when he gets into league play, you know, he can, you know, really get into the X's and O's of things and look and have a team that looks sharp down the stretch. I have no doubt that this team, you know, he mentioned a couple of the players, Kevin Dent and Marcus McCullough, who are young men that I've gotten the chance to watch and be around as well. And I can tell you, these guys are top notch and they are great, great leaders.
And Sean, you know what that's like to have a son go through the process of having colleges look at them, be recruited to the next level, and now you have an idea of what those seniors are going through now on Coach Wilson's team.
Yeah, you know, as far as an athlete is concerned, you know, they're just doing the best that they can. They're making sure that they're crossing their T's, dotting their I's, listening to everything that their coach has to say. I would probably say that it's more nerve-wracking for a parent because the parents want what's best for their child. And it's not anything malicious. It's just that, you know, it is a tough time for the family all around and understanding the importance of the education. And with young men such as Fred Wilson that get in there and get their hands dirty and do the due diligence, well, it becomes a match made in heaven for everybody, and everybody wins in this situation. I just hope and pray that there are more people that go in and, you know, stand in the gap just as Fred has done.
It was great having big-time guest number one on, and that was Fred Wilson, head coach at West Campus High School in the Sacramento area. And stay tuned for big time guest number two after the break. That is Rockstar Bob Stelton of Bob and Graz, 710 ESPN Seattle. After this, on the double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pains went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd as we roll on here. Christmas week, Mr. Boyd.
Yeah, Christmas week is upon us. And of course, we talked a little bit at the beginning of the show about some of the things that are going on in the NFL. In of course, we talked about the 49ers. We talked about the Raiders. Man, we did not get a chance to talk about something special in the Pacific Northwest. Those beloved Seattle Seahawks of yours, man. And my goodness, they made a statement on Sunday Night Football, Sean.
They absolutely did. And as soon as we get our big time guest number two on, we'll have lots of insight and questions into that game and what exactly is going on at One Seahawks Way there in Renton, the headquarters. And, you know, for a team that was 3-3, things are looking much brighter a couple months down the road.
You know, and that's funny because, you know, I have a lot of friends in the Pacific Northwest and, you know, a lot of 12s up there, as you guys like to say. And when the Hawks were 3-3, man, was it quiet. But, oh, what a difference a month makes. And it's amazing. Of course, 'tis the season to be jolly, of course. But, man, I've never heard so much braggadocious behavior now that the team is back on track. And, you know, I have to tell you, it's well-deserved. It is. It's well-deserved for the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, they have really upped it a notch or two. And, you know, I can't see anybody right now beating the Seahawks. And it's interesting, you know, from a Raiders fan's perspective. But, man, there is nobody right now that can beat the Seattle Seahawks, especially if they can get the chance to lock down home field advantage with one game remaining. And, you know, something tells me that these Hawks have it in their scopes, and it should be an exciting one next week.
Well, let's head back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Bob Stelton from 710 ESPN Seattle, host of Bob and Graz, weekdays noon to 3. Bob, thanks so much for your time tonight.
You got it. How you guys doing?
Great, Bob. And, you know, I should be asking you, how are you doing? I mean, of course, that was an incredible football game last night. Just talking with Sean Wally about the statement that the Hawks made going down into Arizona and, you know, simmering all this talk about a super strong Arizona Cardinals football team.
Yeah, well, you know, they've been sending that statement for about 5 weeks now is the thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, once they played the Cardinals the first time, that was right after they had their kumbaya meeting in the locker room. Percy Harvin fiasco was behind them. They had been beaten by the Chiefs. They did not look good, and they got together and cleared the air of whatever needed to be cleared, and they've been a different team ever since, and they have been absolutely smothering on defense. They have allowed 33 points in the last five games in total. They now lead the league in points allowed in terms of defense, so they're number one overall defense. They're number one in points allowed. They're number one against the pass. I mean, they are better this year than they were last year, and that's saying a lot because you're talking about one of the elite defenses of all time last year, and I maintain over the last 5 weeks they're better.
And you know, that is something that is very interesting that you bring up, because for one, Bob, I've been touting that the Arizona Cardinals defense is a defense that, you know, was definitely on the rise. And I've told Sean Wally that I likened it to, you know, the Seahawks defense of last year. But yet when you watch the Seahawks play last night and you watch what they did to the Arizona Cardinals, now, and all things aside, you know, I understand that, you know, the Cardinals were two quarterbacks deep. And, you know, Ryan Lindley has seen better days probably in college than in NFL. But at the same time, what the Seahawks offense and defense did last night was nothing short of brilliant. I mean, you had 300-plus yards coming from Russell Wilson, and it just seemed like he was a marksman as far as hitting in the accuracy that he was for his targets. And so, you know, I tip my cap to the Seattle Seahawks and what they're doing and this momentum that they have going into the postseason.
Well, yeah, I mean, last night was the defense had been doing what it's been doing every week, so that wasn't a huge surprise that they were able to shut down a third-string quarterback, a third-string running back. You sort of expected that might be the case. The interesting thing was going to be, how do they face that defense once again? That defense did a nice job against Seattle, even though they lost 19-3 here in Seattle. They held Marshawn Lynch to 39 yards rushing in that game. They sacked Russell Wilson 7 times in that game. You know, they did a lot of nice things defensively. They're very aggressive. They've got just a crazy blitz package that they throw at you that keeps you guessing. The offensive line for the Seahawks is sort of taped together right now. You had 2 starters out. Max Unger was out. Russell Okung was out. You had Alvin Bailey in there. And it was just going to be, you know, going in, the concern was, all right, how are they going to function against this defense? And you got to give Daryl Bevel and Pete Carroll a lot of credit. They came up with a great game plan. They exposed them. They tore them apart on the ground. They came up with 596 yards of total offense, which is as much as the Cardinals have allowed since the 50s. So it was pretty amazing, the effort that they put out there. Again, I'm not surprised that they won. I'm surprised that they won so you know, decisively. You know, they just to see the offense do what it did was pretty special. And now they've got one more game to worry about in the regular season, and they can lock up number one seed throughout for the NFC and have home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Bob Stelton joining us from 710 ESPN Seattle. And Bob, the Arizona Cardinals came into last night with 11 victories. For the longest time, they were the number one seed in the NFC, and a lot of people were on that bandwagon. Yet the Seahawks went down to Arizona and took them to task on their own field. And the Seahawks just continue passing test after test.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, some people are taking issue with the fact of, you know, well, they're facing off against Drew Stanton and Ryan Lindley and Mark Sanchez and Colin Kaepernick, who has not been as good as he's been in the past. And that's all true. That's all true. But, you know, some of these teams have terrific defenses in the Cardinals and specifically in the 49ers. And rivalries, it's always a different set of circumstances, you know, and the Seahawks can only play who's on their schedule, you know. So, you know, the idea that they're, you know, beating up on a bunch of soft touches isn't entirely accurate. In fact, when the remaining 6 games of the schedule, we all talked about it. It started with the Cardinals the first time, and we looked at it, and it was the toughest remaining schedule in all the NFL by wins and losses of their opponents. The Seahawks had the toughest remaining 6 games on that schedule, and we looked at it and said, boy, if they can go 4-2, that's going to be great. You know, and here they are, 5-0, looking for a sweep of those 6 games. You know, they've sent a statement. I mean, there's right now, the way this team is playing, nobody beats them. Nobody beats them. They beat themselves, perhaps, if they turn the ball over, something along those lines. But if the defense plays the way it's been playing for the last 5 games, the offense doesn't need to be what it was last night. They just need to not go out there and shoot themselves in the foot. You know, they can kick field goals. As long as they don't turn the ball over, this team's going to beat everybody. I just don't see anybody that's dynamic enough to beat this defense.
And Bob, how do you think the offense was able to amass nearly 600 yards with, quote unquote, that some people say, pedestrian receivers, no number one receiver, yet Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch and the cast of characters got it done in a big way?
Well, and that's kind of what I brought up earlier, is Daryl Bevel came up with a great game plan, took advantage of their aggressiveness. You know, they really like to, you know, they run a lot of blitzes, and that's a gambling defense. It pays off a lot. It paid off the first time they played, where they got 7 sacks of Russell Wilson. But, you know, this time they were able to take advantage of it, because if you don't come up with a big play, you're exposed over the middle. And that's where they killed him. They hit Luke Wilson 3 different times, gashed him for huge plays. Russell Wilson with a 55-yard run when they lock up the running back. They did a nice job on Marshawn for a good part of the game until he busted that huge run. They were doing a nice job of sort of bottling him up. But the problem is, when you commit that many guys to put pressure on the quarterback, you're leaving one-on-one coverage there. And the receivers were doing a nice job of getting separation out there. Doug Baldwin had a huge night, over 100 yards receiving. You saw the rookie, Paul Richardson, come up with 5 catches. So these guys were taking advantage of one-on-one coverage and taking advantage of the aggressive nature of that Cardinals defense.
Bob Stelton of 710 ESPN Seattle joining us here on the double. And Bob, we are talking about all of the great things that the Seattle Seahawks are doing, putting themselves in position to make this second Super Bowl run. Of course, there is another NFC team that might be standing in the way. Kind of give us an insight if these two teams meet in the playoffs, and who I mean are the Dallas Cowboys. You're looking at a collision course there, and if Dallas Cowboys were the team to beat Seattle in Seattle, what would be some of the adjustments that the Seahawks would look to in a possible meeting here and maybe an NFC divisional championship.
Well, you know, you got to give the Cowboys credit. They came up with big plays when they needed to. The Seahawks in the first meeting hadn't even come close to hitting their stride yet. They weren't even close to playing at the level that they are right now. And it took a third and 19 play, I believe, from Tony Romo, kind of a miracle play, to really keep that thing going for them. And the Seahawks were within one score of that game. So despite the fact clicking on all cylinders or even close to it, they were in a position to win that game. And Seahawks don't need to do anything other than what they've been doing, and that's continue with the defensive intensity and the precision, the execution on defense that they've been putting out there for the last 5 weeks. Dallas won't beat that. And you look at Dallas offensively, yeah, Tony Romo's having his best season as a professional. I don't think there's any debate about it, but you can look at it and say he hasn't faced this defense. He hasn't faced them when they're completely healthy with a healthy Bobby Wagner and a healthy Cam Chancellor. Cam Chancellor and Bobby Wagner are absolute difference makers on this defense. And Chancellor was out there for a lot of games where he wasn't close to being 100%. And anybody that's paid attention to this team has seen a very clear difference in a healthy Cam Chancellor and what he means to this defense. It frees up Richard Sherman. It frees up Earl Thomas. And you've seen it. I mean, to allow 33 points over five games, that tells you all you need to know. The Dallas Cowboys have much more to worry about if they were to have to come to Seattle to face off against the Seahawks, then the Seahawks need to worry about with the Cowboys.
And Bob, one of the things with the Seahawks is as you'd mentioned earlier, they've done a wonderful job as far as overcoming adversities with injury. Now, last year, the Seahawks didn't have the injury bug that they have this year. And of course, you know, they ran right through the league. They've had the nicks and dings, if you'd mentioned with Russell Okung and a couple of other players as well. How do the Seahawks keep themselves healthy here with some of the guys that are dinged up and moving forward?
Well, I mean, some of that's luck. You know, you prepare as well as you can. You get, the conditioning is streamlined as you can, but ultimately it comes down to luck with injuries. And last year they were extremely lucky in not losing any key guys. They did suffer a few injuries on the offensive line. They were able to get guys back, but you know, as far as what they've gone through this year, it's not even close. Now, the beauty of, if you want to go silver lining on the injuries, is that they got a lot of young guys that were thrown into the fire this year. And, yeah, there were times where it wasn't pretty, but they got some really valuable experience. And those are guys that are going to be able to help you, especially if, you know, this game against the Rams, I don't know if Max Unger is going to play. I don't know if Russell Okung is going to play. But what you've seen is Patrick Lewis and Lemuel Jean-Pierre and Alvin Bailey get critical time on that offensive line. So this isn't going to be overwhelming for anybody on this roster because just about everybody out there has had a run. They've had a chance to get out there and play. So they are in a big advantage because they've got so many guys that are tested, whereas there are a lot of rosters that are full of players that you don't know how they're going to respond, especially if it gets into the postseason, into big-time football. Seahawks have a nice advantage there. A lot of experience on that roster. If a starter does go down, you feel good about the experience level of the guy sitting behind them.
Bob, February 1st, 2015, do you have any plans?
I plan on being in Arizona, man.
I was just going to say, I think you need to pack a bag and have it ready. It's looking like you're heading back to a second straight Super Bowl. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, it would be extremely awesome because it hasn't happened in over a decade. It's a rare thing in the NFL. I mean, the stars truly need to align for that to happen. You know, you see why it's so hard for teams to repeat and go back because, first of all, there's attrition. You know, you've got free agents and guys like that on your roster to become attractive to other teams, and other teams will poach your roster. You've got injuries. You've got guys that develop ego or attitude or feel like they're a star now that they climb the mountaintop. You've got motivation problems. There are just so many issues that go along with trying to repeat. If Pete Carroll and the Seahawks are able to get back to the Super Bowl and you know, with all luck win it, it'll be one of the greatest coaching jobs I've ever seen because of what this team has gone through, where they were at one point, and to overcome all of it and go back and repeat would be nothing short of a miracle for this team. And, you know, listen, I'm not counting my chickens yet. There's a lot of work to be done. But if this team can stay healthy and continue with the way they've been playing, they don't need to improve. Just maintain what you've been doing. And if they do that, their chances are really, really good.
Bob, if you could ask Santa for one Seattle sports gift, what would it be?
one Seattle sports gift? Wow. I hate to disappoint all the football fans. You just had a Super Bowl, so I'd either say a World Series for the Mariners or bring the Sonics back.
Bring the Sonics back. Yes. Yes.
One of those two.
Yes.
One of those two would make me really, really happy.
I agree wholeheartedly. Bob Stelton, thank you so much for your time. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And definitely tune in to Bob and Graz, 12 to 3, 710sports.com, 710 ESPN Seattle. Bob, thanks for your time.
Merry Christmas,
Anytime,
Bob.
Anytime, guys. Happy holidays to you guys as well. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
There goes Bob Stelton of 710 ESPN, co-host Bob and Graz, 12 to 3 weekdays.
You know, there are a lot of things to be thankful for, Sean Wally, of course, especially in the Pacific Northwest, man. Of course, Seattle Seahawks doing their thing. You know, one of the things that Pete Carroll should be thankful for is the depth that is given to his roster. And what I mean by that, man, is one of the people that Bob was talking about briefly was Paul Richardson. Man, where in the world did this young man come from? Making some tremendous plays down the stretch. And you talk about a deep receiving core. Of course, Jermaine Kearse went down with an injury early in the game. And of course, you had Lockett. But man, it just seems like every now and again, you know, one of these guys steps up at the most opportune time. And so we're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to talk some more sports. We'll get into a little bit more of the Monday Night Football. Keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
Likes the inconvenience of car repairs. Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret. A new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd as we're here at Christmas week.
Yes, and we've been talking about the whole 'tis the season to be giving. And of course, talking about Monday Night Football, it looks like Santa's coming a little bit early for the Denver Broncos as Cincinnati was dominating this football game. And now it looks like the Denver Broncos have scored a touchdown with 1:30 left in the third, and they are getting ready to go ahead 28-27.
So, Sean, how did your fantasy football team fare this year now that we're at most of the championship weekends for fantasy football?
Well, you know, I was doing pretty good. You know, I'm in the consolation round as of yesterday, and so of course fantasy ended yesterday. I took it on the chin. Thank you, Vernon Davis, for helping me out tremendously on that, giving me 0 points. But man, Doug Baldwin did an awesome job. Of course, as Bob had mentioned, 7 catches for 113 yards. He was awesome yesterday, but man, it could have been better, Sean. It could have been a lot better. You know, I leaned on some locals. You know, I had a strong showing from Sebastian Janikowski, as he gave me 15 points yesterday with 4 field goals. But, you know, some of these other guys, it was rough. I'm looking forward to next year.
Well, I can tell you, I had 3 teams this season, and one just was absolutely horrible. The other 2 did well, made the playoffs, and I played yesterday. And, of course, moving into today, I played for 3rd and 4th place in one league and played for the championship in another league. And here's the funny part. Murphy's Law. I had Russell Wilson and the Seattle defense playing for the championship. Those 2 combined for 55 points. The rest of my team was all in single digits, and I lost by 6.
So let me get this straight. So you're in 3 different leagues. Each league, you've added up some money, right? I'm assuming that maybe one of them is just for fun, or were all of them ante ups? Did you have to pay for each league?
There might be some Monopoly funds involved.
So 2 of the leagues have just gone straight into the dumpster. But there's one that you might recoup a little bit of money.
No. Just 1 went into the dumpster. The other one I played for third and fourth.
Okay, 3rd and 4th. Okay.
And then I played for the championship. So I ended up getting 2nd in that league and I believe 4th in the other. So.
My goodness. How do you sleep at night? There are 3 different leagues. I mean, really, 3 different leagues. And you have to be pulling your hair out at all ends trying to figure out, you know, which is which. It's almost like hedging your bet.
Hey, you've got to cover all bases.
So I hope that you come out positive in this whole deal of having 3. You know, I just came out of retirement on this whole fantasy league thing, and I'm ready to go right back into it because it's too much. It is just, it's too much for me. Again, as I had poked a little fun at Vernon Davis, you know, what are the odds that I would have a San Francisco 49er on my team? And, you know, the irony is that, you know, he did nothing, 0, and I picked him anyway. And cost me, you know, a few times. And I wouldn't let him go. For whatever reason, I just thought, hey, this guy's going to come around. I kept giving him chance after chance. And, you know, as I'm on the field Saturday, he gets this long, I believe it was a 75-yard touchdown. And, you know, he gets in the end zone and he you know, he kind of gives this look to the crowd like I'm back. And, you know, we're walking across the end zone, the back of the end zone there. And I'm like, man, this guy, yeah, he comes through. He's going to give me something. And what happens? I look back at the 20, and there are 2 flags, not 1, but 2 flags that were sitting there. I mean, you talk about being snake bit. I just couldn't get it right. And man, I loved on him. I was like, man, you're my guy. You know, there's nobody better than you. And he gave me nothing. And, you know, but 2 gray hairs in my head. That's the thanks I get.
So that makes the total about 68?
Yeah.
And see, that's the cool thing about fantasy football. And people that don't understand it ask, you know, how does it work? And why would you pick guys from teams you don't like? And really, if they're decent players, they're on your fantasy roster, it gives you reason to pay attention to other games than just the Seahawks if you're a 12th man member, or just the Raiders if you're a Raider Nation card carrier. So it makes the rest of the league a little more interesting for you.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, unfortunately, the league that I was in, these guys went after running backs at a premium in the first round, and you know, and before I knew it, there was nothing left on the board. I was scrapping. I dug deep. I was trading running back after running back and going into free agency and everything, and I just couldn't get it right. And I think that's what killed me, man. It was, you know, not having two solid running backs to carry me through. And I couldn't get points there, man. I got points in the receivers at the receivers end. I got points from I had the best defensive player in the NFL. And that's sad when your fantasy team is led by your defensive player. I mean, J.J. Watt was giving me 20 points a game. How do you figure that? But, you know, outside of that, you know, it was a tough season, so I'm going to have to rethink this whole thing and come back with a little bit more zeal next year.
So, Sean, with the holidays upon us, Christmas here on Thursday, what are you most looking forward to this week?
Well, definitely spending time with family, getting a chance to take a break. You know, the industry that we're in, it is very demanding, and you know, it calls for you to make adjustments at the drop of a hat, and you've just realized that over the past week. And so I'm just looking forward to taking a deep breath and just saying, you know, and spending time with the kids. Of course, Devon is back in town, and he's going to be here for, you know, about a week before he heads back to Chaminade and plays a couple of games there. And I look forward to having him back over here in January. So that we can watch him play and do the Bay Area boogie, playing about four teams over here. And so, you know, but yeah, I'm looking forward to spending time with the family.
Well, if Vonnie's listening, and if he's not, you be sure to tell him that he's got a message to reply to me back on Facebook. So it's been waiting there a while.
You know, these kids these days, you know, I don't even think they go on Facebook anymore. You know, there's so many other things, but yeah, I'll definitely make sure to tell him that, you know, after he's done working out, man, he's focused and looking to make a big step here. And you know, again, just looking for, you know, just happy that he's in town. And man, I have to tell you, my oldest, Daniel, my goodness, this guy is awesome. So he sends a gift early, and I can tell everybody this, I can share this, and you know, our listeners are our family. So, you know, Daniel gives me this, sends this awesome gift to the house. And, you know, when I come home from work, there it is, this big box that's sitting in the living room. It is a flat screen that he and his fiance have bought for us. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Sean, I was in tears, man. I mean, to have your son actually step out and do something like that and find a way to just, you know, make the holidays awesome. I mean, it's a flat screen TV.
So wait, what you're telling me is you actually can get rid of the projection television from about, what, 15, 20 years ago that's in your living room?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's gone. So the television's already, the new one's already mounted up. I couldn't even wait. I had to open up the box. I'm like, dude, this can't be happening. I made sure that it was mounted. These guys are having fun with it right now. And, you know, Daniel, if you're listening, man, you rock. You and Hannah. I just couldn't ask for, you know, better kids. And, you know, of course, their girlfriends and fiancés as well. You know, just awesome all around. And I'm truly blessed. Definitely.
I think deep down, Daniel just really wanted to watch a better TV when he comes to town.
You're probably right. Everybody is, you know, if Daniel didn't buy it, then my father-in-law probably would have bought it, you know, because every time they come down, it's just like, well, I was embarrassed, man. And like you said, having this old TV sitting there, and yeah, it is what it is. But party's at my house now. So, you know, we've got the flat screen up, and it looks good, man.
What are we talking? 40, 46, 50, 55?
It's a 48 inch. So it's a nice size TV.
Yeah, that'll work. A very nice present indeed.
Yes.
All right, Sean, another good show with two big-time guests. Special thanks to basketball coach Fred Wilson and Bob Stelton of 710 ESPN Seattle.
Yeah, you know, and as we had talked earlier, I mean, you know, it was great having Coach Wilson on and, you know, getting the chance to share some of the things that he's doing with the youth. And, you know, we look at a lot of athletes, you know, especially you and I in the industry that we're in. We see these professional athletes. Some of them we kind of scratch our heads at, and other ones, you know, we're like, man, they come from good stock. And, you know, I've mentioned this time and time again, it takes a village to raise a child. And the coaches like Fred Wilson that stand in the gap, that do these awesome things. We've had coach upon coach upon coach that have been on here that do those things. You know, we need more. We still need more coaches to actually do those types of things and make things right. So, you know, of course, having Bob Stelton on, we were talking nothing but Seahawks, man. And, you know, it's justifiably so. The Seahawks are clicking. They are rocking and rolling. And it doesn't look like anybody is going to be stopping them. But again, I had mentioned earlier to Bob that maybe there's a Dallas Cowboys team that has a lot of chips on their shoulders to knock away. But that's going to do it, Mr. Wally. Show number 85 in the books. And man, Sean, what have you, what are you going to be doing on Christmas there?
Oh, goodness. Hoping that Santa provides safe travels as I embark on the North American tour, one of three for the Harlem Globetrotters, flying from Seattle all the way to BWI in Baltimore.
And, you know, that's a great Christmas present in itself, man. And that's why I asked you that. All I'm asking for is some cool Harlem Globetrotter shorts. They could be mistaken as Apollo Creed shorts, but either way, man, I would love to don those walking up and down the streets of Sacramento. But that's going to do it for us, man. Merry Christmas to you, and we're sending a Merry Christmas out to all of our listeners here on the Double with the Double S Express, and wishing everybody happy holidays. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd, and Don Newsom, the engineer. Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express. Remember me, just one mistake.